It's June 21st, 2021, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Lila Ledesma, here again for your daily news roundup. Adam's off today. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, Ether, El Salvador, the latest headlines, and more. Today's episode is sponsored by Interpop, Unique One Network, and Elliptic. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin, Ether, and other cryptocurrencies are trading in the red after the Agricultural Bank of China reiterated its ban on crypto in a now-deleted statement. Ether, the second largest cryptocurrency by market value, fell to $1,977 during Monday's early European hours, hitting the lowest level since May 23rd. Bitcoin is trading 7% down near $33,000, having reached lows close to $32,322. Other top cryptocurrencies, including XRP, Cardano, and Polkadot, are nursing 5% to 10% losses. In an announcement early Monday, the bank, one of China's Big Four, cited People's Bank of China guidance for a continuation of its crackdown on crypto transactions. Accounts of customers dealing with crypto will be closed and transactions reported to relevant authorities, the bank said in a statement published in Chinese on its website and translated to English and shared across social media by many. The statement, which is no longer available on the website, bolstered concern of a regulatory crackdown, sending cryptocurrencies lower. Bitcoin is currently trading at $32,433, whilst Ether is trading at $1,955, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. And over to related news, here are a few quick headlines we're tracking today. You can find the links to the full stories in the show notes for this episode. After the break, we're looking at why El Salvador might not need a Bitcoin mandate. But first, here's what's hot. Stock futures point to rebound in Dow. The Wall Street Journal reports US stock futures rose Monday whilst the gap between short-dated and long-term bond yields narrowed, reflecting the complex calculations investors are making as they take into account the prospect of rising interest rates. Portugal grants first crypto exchanges operating licenses. CoinDesk's Andreas Engler reports the Central Bank of Portugal has licensed two cryptocurrency exchanges for the first time. Turbocharged US economy attracts foreign investors. The Wall Street Journal reports the US is likely the top destination for foreign investment, according to the UN, as businesses meet bounce in demand for everything from steel to pet food. The richest Latin Americans should pay more tax, says the IMF. The IMF's top official for Latin America has urged governments to make the rich pay much more in tax, saying the world's most unequal region will not develop unless it addresses demands for a fairer economic system. That one's from the Financial Times. Canada says its borders won't fully reopen until 75% vaccination rate. The US border is unlikely to be completely reopened until 75% of Canadians are fully vaccinated, Canada's border chief said on Sunday in comments likely to fuel mounting impatience at the restrictions. That one's from Bloomberg. BlackRock wants a blockchain strategy for Aladdin, its investments engine. CoinDesk's Danny Nelson reports BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager with almost $9 trillion in assets under management, is seeking to develop a blockchain strategy for its flagship portfolio management system, Aladdin, according to a job posting. The People's Bank of China says banks must block crypto transactions. CoinDesk's Omkar Godbe reports the People's Bank of China on Monday told the country's major financial institutions to stop facilitating virtual currency transactions. Banque de France extends wholesale CBDC experiment. The French central bank used a CBDC to stimulate the settlement of securities trading, CoinDesk's Jamie Crawley reports. Real estate mogul to spend $100 million on decentralized social network protocol. CoinDesk's Sebastian Sinclair reports Project Liberty will utilize blockchain technology to build a new type of internet infrastructure aiming to democratize social media data. Stay tuned for After the Break, where we take a look at why CoinDesk columnist Nick Carter thinks El Salvador doesn't need a Bitcoin mandate. Back in a moment.
Meet Interpop, a super team redefining the future of NFTs and fandom. From comics and trading card games to digital collectibles and everything in between, they are building the architecture of an entirely new landscape of fandom using technology built on the Tezos blockchain to drive their vision. Visit HelloInterpop.io to learn more. That's HelloInterpop.io to learn more. There's so many blockchains and NFT marketplaces these days, and none of them work together. Introducing Unique One Network, a multi-chain interoperable platform for DeFi-enabled NFT marketplaces. Powered by Polkadot, Unique One Network's cross-chain NFT hub lets you service NFT creators, investors, collectors, and traders across art, photography, philanthropy, gaming, finance, and more. So do yourself a favor and head over to Unique One Network now to learn more. Introducing Elliptic, the preferred crypto compliance partner for businesses who want to grow with confidence. The busiest compliance teams rely on Elliptic's rigorous blockchain monitoring solutions to scale up and save money. Protect your customers. Manage your risk. Scale your business. Visit elliptic.co to talk to a crypto compliance expert today. That's elliptic, ELLIPTIC.co.
Today's feature story was written by CoinDesk columnist Nick Carter, who is a partner at Castle Island Ventures and the co-founder of Coinmetrics. 2 weeks ago, the government of El Salvador shocked the world with the sudden announcement that the Central American nation would make Bitcoin legal tender. The announcement, made by President Nayib Bukele on the final day of the Bitcoin 2021 conference in Miami, was followed up mere days later with the midnight passage of the law. Longtime critics of Bitcoin, after granting Bitcoin as a brief reprieve to enjoy the momentous occasion, came to focus on Article 7 of the hastily passed law. Quoting Article 7, "Every economic agent must accept Bitcoin as a payment when offered to him by whoever requires a good or service," end quote. To the critics, led by George Selgin, this amounts to a forced tender mandate that goes far beyond a mere legal tender law, which would declare a monetary medium an acceptable but not obligatory medium of exchange, and moves into the domain of coercion. The actual implementation of this provision, which is due to take effect in 80 days, is still uncertain. It seems far-fetched in the extreme to imagine that the Salvadoran government will enforce a Bitcoin merchant mandate by force everywhere in the country. Economic exchanges happen millions of times a day, and virtually no state on earth possesses the capacity or the political will to force such a monetary transition on its people. There are countless instances throughout history of states attempting to prohibit or enforce monetary transitions, often at the penalty of death. Generally, economic forces prevail, and when pressed, people tend to find ways to defy state monetary mandates. This instance will be no different. It would also be politically unwise to force merchants to accept Bitcoin on such an accelerated schedule. Bukele enjoys a political mandate and world-leading popularity, but an aggressive interpretation of this law would erode some of that support. Already, the primary reaction I have seen from everyday Salvadorans has been confusion and dismay at the prospect of having this new obligation imposed on them. From a practical standpoint, the Bukele administration should consider not enforcing Article 7 or should eliminate it altogether. Very real impediments exist to implementing a digitized transactional network in El Salvador. Not everyone has access to a smartphone, power, or the internet, and learning how to use Bitcoin, whether on-chain, via Lightning, or through a custodial app, takes time and effort. Bitcoin is great for some types of exchange, but brick-and-mortar retail transactions are not among them. Granted, there are some mitigations to the unfortunate Article 7. Article 12 exempts those who, quote, "do not have access to the technologies that allow them to carry out the transactions in Bitcoin," end quote. Article 8 specifies that the state will provide, quote, "alternatives that allow the user to carry out transactions in Bitcoin and have automatic and instant convertibility from Bitcoin to USD if they wish," end quote. The specific mechanic here would be a trust created under the state fund known as Banco de Desarrollo de El Salvador, providing dollar to Bitcoin liquidity. But even with these exemptions and devices meant to smooth the transition, the optics of a forced tender law are still poor. And one wonders why exactly the Bukele administration is so keen on merchant adoption specifically. Whilst the Bitcoin Beach experiment has been a successful case study, it still represents a small petri dish, unlikely to extend smoothly to an entire country. An embrace of Bitcoin offers many potential dividends to El Salvador: access to a monetary network independent of political stipulations that accompany the dollar, and free from Fed-driven dollar debasement, a beacon to attract wealthy and mobile crypto entrepreneurs to Salvadoran shores, and potentially a more efficient and direct system for settling remittances. None of these agenda items relies on the acceptance of Bitcoin by local small-scale or informal merchants. A far stronger gesture of faith in Bitcoin would be to establish it as a parallel monetary network, or on par with dollars. If the Bitcoin law simply eliminated capital gains taxes for Bitcoin transactions, allowed the settling of tax liabilities in Bitcoin, and established it as an acceptable but not obligatory legal tender, it would accomplish this. In practice, it's the specific friction imposed by tax policy that keeps fiat currencies like the dollar sovereign and subjugates others. American Bitcoiners have to track their dollar-denominated gains and losses in BTC, and when BTC appreciates against the inflationary dollar, they incur a tax liability, also known as capital gains. Additionally, when they spend their Bitcoin, they have to treat the expenditure as a sale and pay taxes accordingly. Thus, eliminating the capital gain friction is most of the battle in elevating Bitcoin to the level of sovereign currencies. Any stipulations beyond that is unnecessary. You can't hurry Bitcoin adoption. Its growth is a natural process of discovery that around 100 million individuals have undertaken in the last decade. For governments focused on unleashing the economic potential of Bitcoin and its adherents, merely removing the tax burden should be sufficient. I remain cautiously optimistic regarding the Bitcoin project in El Salvador. Whilst the law is admittedly questionable in parts, it is very brief and rather underspecified. Much will depend on its actual implementation. I question the hysterical projections of the critics regarding a mass mobilization of state force to mandate Bitcoin acceptance at every supermercado. Most likely, the Bukele administration will recognize the burdensome nature of the law and de facto walk it back. But to eliminate doubt as we progress toward implementation, El Salvador should reconsider Article 7 and let Bitcoin flourish on its own merits. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with your next news roundup on Tuesday. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.